We begin the current daf Masech, the Shabbos daf Tezvav. We begin two lines up from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing the theme of the previous two dafim, which spoke about the Yudches Dvarim, the 18 different things which were geyser in the attic when the Tamidim of Shammai outnumbered the Tamidim of Hill, and there were 18 different things that were decreed on that day. So one of the statements that was mentioned in the previous daf was Gufa, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol, Yudches Gazru. There were 18 different things that were enacted on that day when they were there in that attic. And there were 18 things that they argued about. In other words, these 18 things were things that there were machlokes between the students of Shammai and the students of Bissau. And that day, the students of Shammai outnumbered the students of Hillel, and therefore they got enacted. But it was machlokes initially, and that is that they, so to speak, they won the war, the Melchama Shel Torah. To which the Gemara asked, but Tanya Hushu, we learned the Braisa, not like that. We learned that they agreed, that the students of Hillel agreed to the students of Shammai. So why did Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol say that it was a machlekes? So the Gemara answers, that day there was an argument. Ulamacha Hershua means that the following day, then the students of Beis Hillel, they were chayzer, they so to speak, they reversed their opinion, and then they agreed, but initially it was a machlekes, and just that the students of Shammai outnumbered the students of Hillel. So the Gemara continues, also Gufa, we mentioned in the previous daf, another statement that came across in this when we mentioned the 18 things that they argued about, the students of Shammai, students of Beis Hillel on that day. So the Gemara had said that Amar Rav Huna beGimel Mekayim Misnechel Kusham Avihil, but however, their teachers, Shammai and Hillel, they only argued in three places. And now the Gemara will mention where these three places are. So the first one is as follows. Shammai Oimer Mikav Chala. Shammai said that from a kav of flour, which is four lug, that is when you're mechuyiv in what's the halacha known as hafrashas chala, to separate a piece of that dough when there's a kav of flour. Hillel says it's only when there's two kav, which is going to be eight log. When there's eight log of flour, then you have to separate what's known as hafrashas chala and give that to the kohen. But the chachamim argued on both Shammai and Hillel, and they said neither opinion is correct. Some are in between. They said that it's only a kav and a half, which is six logan. Then the person would be obligated in the hafrashas chala. So they continued and said that mishigdilu hamidus, from when the units increased, and that is at different times in the Torah, the measurements change, and that is in the time when the midbar was one way. Then in Yerushalayim at a later point in history, then it changed, and they added on each measurement got a fifth larger than it used to be. And then at a later point in time in Tzipori, in the local in Eretz Yisrael, that then they once again made it a fifth bigger. So it came out that the six lugan that the Chacham said that a person would have to take off challah from when it's six lugan, then it became, so to speak, five lugan, because now each measurement got bigger, so each lug got a fifth bigger than it was. So if a person takes six of the old one, it'll be five of the new one. So therefore, Amr, they said, chameshes revoim kemach chayav mechal. And now, it's five revoim. That revoim is a reference for lug, because a lug is a quarter of a kav. That's the word revoim, means a quarter. And now five quarters, which is five lug in the flour, would be obligated and subject to the halach of chal. And that's again because that was what it used to be, was six. Now suddenly the measurements each got bigger, so therefore now it becomes its five lug in the chal. That's mechuyev in it. So that's the machlekes that they said, if it was like Beis Hillel that said, that Hillel like said it was four, that Shammai said it was four, Hillel that said it was eight, or like the Chum that said it was six, and that is now it became five. Rabbi Yasi Eimer, no, hey Paturin, if it's exactly five Lugan, then the person would be exempt from Chal. It's only hey Va'oit Chayiv, it's only five with a little bit more, five plus, then the person would be obligated in the Halach of Chal. And that's because Rabbi Yasi held that the measurements that were in the mid, which called Mida Midbaris, that their eggs were larger than our eggs, and that is our eggs got smaller. So therefore, Rabbi Yisi held that although that, so to speak, it used to be six logan, and then, so to speak, it became five because then the measurements were bigger, so five encompassed the same amount of eggs that were in the six logan, but it's not enough just to have five, it needs five and a little bit more, because although the eggs are going to be the same amount of 43 and a fifth eggs, that each one agrees it has to be that amount, it has to be a little bit more, because again, our eggs are not going to be as large as theirs was, and therefore you have to add in a little bit more, so it's five and a little bit more. So that's one machlokes we have between Shammai and Hillel regarding how much flour there has to be obligated in the halach of chal. V'idach, and the second place where they argue is, Hillel oimer molei hin mayim sh'uvim. If you have a full hin of drawn water, which a hin is 12 lug, so therefore if you have 12 lug of drawn water, that's poisel mes mikvah, that disqualifies the mikvah. That is, if let's say this amount of drawn water, which is not rainwater, it's not live water, it came, so to speak, from a bucket, and then that was poured into the mikveh before it got full to the 40 so that's requisite in the mikveh, then it's going to disqualify the mikveh. But however, if let's see, it was already 40 saw, then it's not going to become possible, even if you put in even 1,000 saw of drawn water. So the halacha we're talking about over here is before it filled up the necessary amount of, let's say, rainwater, and you poured in 12 lugan of drawn water, that's going to disqualify the mikveh because it never filled up with the necessary amount originally. And then the Gemara adds that Shechayiv Adam Loime Beloshen Rabbi, because a person is obligated to say over Halach in the same terminology of his Rabbi, which means to say is the terminology of Hin, which is a measurement, is not the term that's usually used in the vernacular of the Mishnah. It's a term used in the Torah. But since this is how he heard it from his Rabbi, from Shemaya Naftalian, that's why he'll said over with the term of Hin, but really it normally should have been said in the term of 12 Lug, or regarding Kavan, as we're going to see. So Hill says that it's going to be 12 lug that will disqualify a mikveh. Shamayim et tisha kavan, the 9 kavan of drawn water will disqualify a mikveh. Neither like Shamay, neither like Hill. And as the Gemara says, that Shabo beis gardiyim mishara ash b'shir b'shalim. And this debate continued until 2 weavers came from the gate of dung in Yerushalayim. Which interesting, the Rashi brings from Masechet Idyos that they say, why do I have to mention the profession of these people and where they came from? Which comes to tell you, it teaches a person that a person should never stop himself from coming to the Beis Medrash. That because there is no profession, there's no craft that's lower than a weaver. And from such a profession, they don't make Kohanim Gedolim, they don't appoint a king from such profession, as the Gemara in Kedushin Taf Pei Bei says. And similarly, there was no gate in Yerushalayim lower of stature than the Shahar Ashbis, which is the name itself, the gate of dung. And still, so to speak, from their testimony, the Chachmi Yisrael decided the halacha, and that is they said, Vehi Idu. And these 2 weavers testified, Mishum Shmaya Vavtalin, the name of Shmaya Vavtalin, Shashloisha Lugin Mayim Shuvim Paisimas Amikva, that it's not like Hill said and not like Sham. It says rather it's 3 lugin of water that's drawn, that will disqualify the mikvah, Vekayim Chacham Estevrahim. And the Chacham endorsed their words, and then that's how they paskin, like these 2 weavers, not like Hill and not like Shammai. So that was the second place where Hill and Shammai argued regarding the psul, the disqualification of a mikvah which had drawn water poured into it before it totally filled up. They had a machlekes Shammai and Hill, how much was the correct amount. Meidach, in the third place where they argue, was Shammai Omer Kol Hanoshim. Shammai says that all women that see blood die in shaitan, that it suffices the time that they saw it. In other words, that if, for example, if a woman that's a nida that saw blood, any tahiris that she touched, she made it tumah because a nida is tumeya. So we only say that the time suffices. In other words, from here on, then whatever they touch will be tumah. But retroactively, anything that they touch, we won't suspect that they already had their dam nida then, and they're not going to be metamit. The Hillel, however, Hill says mepkida lepkida, that we go from examination to examination, which means retroactively, if a woman, so to speak, checks herself today, and she finds that she's tar. And then at the end of the week, she checks herself and she finds that she's tamei, that she sees that she had, so to speak, a period of blood. So then Hill says that you have to suspect anything that she touched from the first time she checked herself from till the next time. We say that maybe the second she finished that checking, she got a period. And therefore, for the whole week, we say anything she touched, we'll have a halach of tamei. That is, we go from the last examination to this one. This one she finds blood. The last one she didn't. So we say that from that moment, after that time that she checked, was possibly she got it. And therefore, the whole week, anything she touched would be tamei. As Hill said, v'filiyam harbi, even if it's many days. V'chacham ayim nechum say, loike dirizeh, v'loike dirizeh. Not like Shammai and not like Hill. El me'es le'es me'mayit adeh me'pkil b'kidam. But rather, a period of 24 days will produce from the time of the last examination, and that from the last examination will reduce if it's going to be less than 24 hours. And that is, these 2 time periods will work retroactively to go according to the more lenient of the 2. And that is, if let's say the last time she examined herself was more than 24 hours, so then we'll say that no, only up till 24 hours prior to finding the period this time when she checked, that's the most she'll become tummy. And if let's say the 24-hour period is so to speak longer than the last time she examined herself, if let's say she examined herself only 7 hours ago and then she was tar and now she finds that she has a period 7 hours later, then we'll go from the last time she examined herself. So whichever is the shorter of the 2, that is going to be the time that the Chacham say will be when we'll say that the Taharis retroactively makes the things tummy. So those are the 3 different places we had machlekes between Shammai and Hill regarding the Chiyuv of Chala, regarding the Psul of the Mikvah, and regarding the Tumah of Anida, regarding how when do we say that what she touches makes Tumah, if it's only from here on, as Shammai says, or if it's even retroactively, as Hill says. So those are the 3 different machlokes, to which the Gemara asks, are there no other places where Hill and Shammai argued? Vayikra, but we have a different place. It says Hill Oimer Lismich, Vishama Oimer Shalei Lismich. Hill said that one does smicha on this carbon, which is he leans on the animal, and Shami says not. And this is a machlekes between Mishami and Basil regarding if a person brings his carbon the darim and the davis and tend to lean on them on Yom Tov, if that's permitted or not. Which is that Shami says you're not allowed to lean on it, and Hill says you're allowed to lean on it. So the Gemara says, Kikam Rav Huna, Hecha Deleka Plukta Dravasa Badai. This that Rav Huna said, that there are only three places where they argue, and there seems to be a fourth one, because he only said a place where there's no other of the great men that were involved in this dispute. And that is, these three places that Rav Huna mentioned, none of the previous, so to speak, Rabbanim ever argued about. But Smicha, regarding the Machlekes, if you're allowed to lean on your animal on Yom Tov, that all the different Av Bezdins and the Nesiim, which were, so to speak, the two leaders in Kol Yisrael, from Yosef ben Yezer until Hill, they all, as the Gemara Chagig goes through all the generations, this was the machlokes they always had. The Av Bezdin said one way, and the Nesiim said another way, and through the generations, all the way down to Hill and Shammai, they had that same machlokes, so therefore, that we weren't talking about, because everyone had the machlokes. It's these three original machlokes that originated in the times of Hill and Shammai that we mentioned are only three places. However, the Gemara says there seems to be another place. We have the machlekes regarding someone that's harvesting his grapes by the wine press. And that is necessarily for that he's harvesting grapes, but if he's harvesting raisins, then it would be a totally different halacha, because we're talking about the halacha is going to be debated about a beverage that comes out from the grapes. If it's regarding raisins, then the person b'chlal wouldn't appreciate it. He wouldn't want the liquid that's oozing out of it, and therefore it wouldn't be machshir anything. It would not make anything susceptible to tumah. So the halacha is as follows. Someone harvesting his grapes from a wine press. Shammai mehuchsha. Shammai now says that now all his grapes are susceptible to tumah. And that is because when you're harvesting it, so there's wine that, so to speak, drips from the grapes on top of all the other grapes. And although, so to speak, that liquid is going down to the ground and it's going to get ruined because it's dripping through the baskets, however, the Gemara later is going to explain that it's a gzeru because maybe you're going to, so to speak, harvest them in baskets that have pitch around them and that won't allow anything to seep out. And then the person will, so to speak, want the liquid. And as the halacha is regarding being machsh or something, a food item such as grapes can only become susceptible to getting tumah from an object, let's say a sheretz, only if it was, so to speak, one of the seven types of beverages that touched it and you were, so to speak, you enjoyed it, you wanted the beverage or that the beverage should touch this food item. So here, what we're talking about is when you're harvesting the grapes, then there's liquid that's going to come out of them. This is going to be a situation where Shammai says that now the grapes will become susceptible to tumah because of the liquid that's oozing out of the grapes when it's being harvested. And Hill says that it will not become susceptible to tumah. So therefore, as the Gemara later is going to explain this machlekes, but however, we see we have this machlekes between Hill and Shammai, and that seems to be a fourth place. So the Gemara says, bar minei dahi, that besides that case, and that's for a different reason, because the hasim kashosik lehil l'shammai, as the Gemara later will explain, that in that situation, Hill was silent to Shammai, and he did not, so to speak, stick up to argue with Shammai, as Gemara says, that he was, so to speak, submissive to Shammai on that day. So therefore, we don't consider that as one of the places where Hill and Shammai argued, because Hill, in so to speak, didn't even argue, and that's why Shammai, so to speak, won that machlokes, because Hill, so to speak, didn't even contest Shammai. So we don't consider that, and therefore, there's only three places that Hill and Shammai argued, but there are other places, but they're not considered from the machlokes that Hill and Shammai had. So now the Gemara continues, quoting from the Brayis and the Yudalad Amid Beis, that said the Yosi ben Yeezer ish Tzreda, the Yosi ben Yechon ish Rishlaim, these two Tamid Chacham, the leaders of Kalai, so they were Gazral Tumas Eretz Am, that they decreed a Tumah on the lands of the nations, Valkli Zchuches, and on glassware, that there's a halacha of Tumah related to glass. So the Gemara asks, how can you say that it was these two Tzadikim, these Tamid Chacham, these leaders of Kalai, so that made this Gzera, Vaharabana Nishmainim Shana Gazer? But it was the rabbis that were 80 years before the Churban that they were the ones that were geyser regarding the tumah of the lands of the nations. As the Gemara says, Damrav Kahana, Kishachal Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi, when Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi became ill, Sholcholoi, so the student sent to him as follows, Rabbi, Amar lanu beiz v'gimel dvar m'shemartu m'shem avicha, tell us, teach us two or three things that you told over us in the name of your father. So Sholcholoi sent to them as follows, Kacham Abba, this is what my father said, Kuf pei shana at shalechar v'bayis, 180 years before the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchus Harisha al Yisrael. So then the evil, the wicked empire spread over Klal Yisrael. And that's a reference to Rome, that they started conquering Eretz Yisrael. Peishana Achalei Charva Bais, then 80 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Gazru tuma al eretz amim. Chazal, they decreed a tuma on the lands of the nations. Ba'al kli zchuchis, and on the glassware. Then mem shana shleichar v'bayis, 40 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Golsalo Sanhedrin v'yoshev la b'chanoyis. Then the Sanhedrin went into exile, so to speak. They moved away, and then they settled in Chanoyis. They moved away from the area of the Beis Hamikdash. Shrish Gemara asks l'may hilchas. So what's the halachic significance of this, that the Sanhedrin moved away 40 years before the end of the Churban? So that's to tell you that they did not judge cases of penalties. To which the Gemara asks, do you really think that they didn't judge cases of penalty anymore? What it means is that they didn't judge capital cases anymore, because, so to speak, once they moved away from the Beis HaMikdash, they did not have that same divine authority that they had when they were in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is, we see that it was these rabbis that were there 80 years before the Churban that they made this Gezerah, and not, as we mentioned before, Yosef ben Ya'ezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. So the Gemara says, but b'chitema b'peishan haba nami inu hava, and you're going to say that maybe they were the same. Maybe the ones who were 80 years before the Churban Ba'ayis Cheney was the two Reb Yosefs. So the Gemara says, but that can't be. Because about Tanya, but we learned in the Braisa, Hill v'Shimon, regarding Hill, and Reb Shimon, who was the son of Hill, and Gamliel, who he was Reb Gamliel Hazakan, which is mentioned many times in the Gemara, v'Shimon, and that's Reb Shimon that was killed with the Harugi Malchus, with those which were killed by the Romans, and he was the father of Gamliel that, so to speak, bothered Reb Yeshua ben Chananya, as the Gemara in Brachas says, and that he made the Machlikas with Reb Elazar ben Horkanus and the Gemara Bava Metzia. These four Tamid HaChachamim, Nogu Nisiyusin Bifnei HaBayis Meishana, they held their office of Nasi, of the Prince of Klaiso. They were 100 years when 100 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The last 100 years before the Churban started the Nasiyus of Hill. And these four generations lasted 100 years until the Churban. So therefore you see that Hill was 100 years before the Churban. Ve'ilu Yosef ben Ya'ezer ish Sreda, Ve'yosef ben Yochanan have a Kadmi Tuva. And these two Tamidicham were long before Hill. And that is as the Mishnah in Avos goes through and shows the different, the Heshtalshes, the different lineage that goes through all the different leaders of Klal Yisrael, that they, if Hill was 100 years before the Churban, then they came much before him. So definitely they weren't the Chazal that made the decree 80 years before the Churban. So the question is, who made the Gezer? Was it Yosef ben Ya'ezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, or was it the Tamid Chacham of 80 years before the Churban? Now we continue on to Amud Beis. So rather, the Gemara says as follows. In a sense, it was both of them. Ela also in who, rather, they came, meaning the two Yaisis, Gazra Gusha Lisrif, they made a decree on a clod of earth, I mean the actual earth of the land of the nations, that if, let's say, that touches Truma, then you're going to have to burn the Truma. The Aviv Leklum, but they didn't make any decrees at all on the airspace. If someone would go into, let's say, Chutzlaritz, into the lands, the nation of the lands, or let's say Truma goes in, and there's nothing separating, for example, it's an open box from the bottom, but it doesn't touch the actual land, then they said there's no decree. V'as Rabban and the Peishana, then the Rabban of the 80 years before the Churban, who came much later, they came along, and they, so to speak, they added a notch to the Churban. And they said, Gazra Avir Lit, at least they made a decree on the airspace to suspend it, and that is, it so to speak, we're not going to eat that Churban, we're not going to burn it. So they added on, not just regarding the Gush, the earth itself, that is, there's a halacha of Tumah, but even on the airspace. So therefore, there was both of them, and there was different levels in this Gezerah. So the Gemara asks, "Lememer the tchila the chad the gezeros have a lisreifa? Can it be that one of these gezeros, which we said regarding the clod of earth, was initially that we're going to burn truma that touches the earth, which is how we're saying that's how it happened that the two yaisis made a gezer? But it can't be because va'amar ilfa said yedayim tchilas gezeros and lisreifa. Yedayim was interesting that this tuma that we gave to yedayim that we said that truma that touched it initially the gezer was right away that we will burn that truma." So the diik is, the inference is, that Yudayim who did Chilis Gezeros and Lisreifa, that Yudayim was unique, the hands of a person, that we gave it a Tuma, that only there did we say the initial Gezer was that we're going to burn Truma that touches it. Hamidachri Nilay, which is Mashma, that if something else, which is let's say specifically in our case, the Gezer of the earth of the lands of the nations, that there the initial Gezer was not to burn it. But here we said that it was, that the Gush was to burn and the airspace not, and later on they said even the airspace will be lit, lest that will suspend it. How can we say that if we say that nothing else besides Yedayim, we said that we initially Gzeir was to burn? So the Gemara says it changes. That Ela rather was as follows. Asu inhu gazar gusha litlis. The two Yaisis, they came and they made Gzeir on the clods of earth of Eretz HaAmim, that we will suspend Truma that touches it. Not eaten, but not burnt. The Aveva Lekluman, regarding the airspace, they made no gzer. Vasraban de Peshana, Gazagusha Lisrav, and then came the Rabbanon of the 80 years before the Churban, and then they made a decree on the earth itself that will burn Truman that touches it. Vaavir Litlois, and regarding the airspace, that will suspend it. So they made two different gzeris that they added on, one regarding the ground, not only that will suspend, but will even burn, and regarding the airspace, that will suspend. So the Gemara says, but Vakati, it's still a problem. That this that we said regarding burning if something touches the earth of the Eretz Amim, because Bu'usha Gaza, how can you say that it was the rabbis of 80 years before the Churban that they said that if it touches the earth of the Eretz Amim that we're going to burn it? It was much later in Usha that they made this gezeirah. It's not as we learned in the Mishnah. It says, Alvav Sveikos Serfenes HaTrumah, regarding six doubtful areas of Tumah, we will burn Truma that touches. And that is regarding the halacha of Tumah, generally we don't burn it if it's a Suffolk. And that is, we'll say litlois that we're suspending it. We can't eat it because maybe it's tummy, but we won't burn them because maybe it's not. You're not allowed to burn truma. But regarding six situations, although it's doubtful, we do burn it. And there are the six following ones. Al suffik beis apras, regarding the suffik, which is inherent in the beis apras, which is if truma goes into beis apras, which is a field that a grave was buried over there. And now there's a suffik because they don't know if a person went over where the kever was or not. So that's one situation that we're going to burn. Val Suffolk offer haba me'eretz am, regarding the Suffolk that's inherent by earth that comes from the nations of the lands, because all the earth of the nation of the lands, again, we have this Suffolk that we said, we don't know where they bury their people, so anywhere you walk that's not in Eretz Yisrael, maybe you're walking over a grave, and therefore we say any earth will have the halacha of a grave, and therefore it will make a person tameh. The third case was Val Suffolk big di'ama art, regarding the Suffolk that's inherent in the clothing of an ignoramus, which all of their clothing are a Suffolk for us, because maybe his wife that doesn't know the halachas, and he doesn't know the halachas, is really a nida, and she sat on his clothing. As the Mishnah Chagiga says, that the bigdi amarets are medrash leprushim, the clothing of an ignoramus are considered the severe tumma of midras for the prushim, for those that are careful about the halachas of tumma. The fourth case was val safik kelim hanitzarim, regarding if someone has a safik regarding kelim, articles that are found, and that is we don't know if they're tummy, we consider tumma that touches it, that it will have to be burnt. The fifth one is val safik heroikin, regarding the suffix that's inherent by old spit that's found on the ground, we're not sure that maybe it came from a zav, which his spit has a severe halacha of tumma. And the sixth one is was suffix may reagle adam, regarding a suffix regarding when there's urine of a person, which is shekeneged may ragle behema, that old, and this is even a bigger chiddush, that although it's in the proximity of the urine of an animal, where there we don't say, it's telling us a chiddush that you don't say that since that was from the animal, this is also from an animal. So therefore we have over here this suffix, this last case of the urine of a person, is much different than all the different svekas we mentioned from the six. That is here, that even if we're not even sure if it even is urine from a person, because maybe it's the urine of an animal, as we said, it's even in close proximity, so therefore this two svekas, and that is we would think, we'd say lekula, and still in spite of that we say, because although if it's an animal for sure it's not tummy, and even if it's a person, maybe it's from a person that's tar, in spite of that we have the suffix that maybe it's coming from someone that's tummy, and therefore we say alvade magoyin shehu suffix tumasin, and that case when there's definite contact with this, which is a case of suffix tumma, because again we're not sure if the element is tummy itself at all, we're not sure if let's say this urine, if it came from, so to speak, a zab. So however, but if a person definitely touches it, although there are cases of suffik tama, serving as a truma, we will burn the truma for touching these six things. Rabbi Yossi says, afal suffik magoin b'shus hayachid serfen. Rabbi Yossi adds even the more of the severe chumra. He says, even if you're not even sure if you even contacted, even if you touched that thing. So we have six things that are inherently suffik. They're not even definitely tummy. And then he says that even if you're not sure, even if you touched it, but if at least in reshus hayachid, so then, they were going to say that you will burn it, because as we know, there's halacha regarding a Rishus HaYachid, that there, Safik Tumas are more chamer, and we go to Chumra. So therefore he says, in Rishus HaYachid, even if you're not sure if you even touch it, you'll burn it. The Chum say, Rishus HaYachid Thailand, regarding Rishus HaYachid, in a private domain, we'll suspend it. We'll say that it's possibly, you touched it, possibly not, possibly it's Tameh, possibly it's not. So therefore we'll say that you don't eat it, but you don't burn it. But in the public domain, it will be totally tar. A person that it will not make the truma tame, and therefore it's tar. You could even continue and eat it. So the Gemara says, "Va'ama Ula, Vav Svekis Beushiskin." And Ula says that these six decrees, these six Svekis that we were unsure about regarding if they're tame, and still we say that if it touches truma, we're going to burn it. They were instituted in Usha, and this is many, many years after the Churban, as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that there were 10 different stages that they took after the Churban, and therefore we see that we have a case of even Agusha, which was one of the cases of the six things that said it was the earth of the land of the nations, and that they made a decree that these things are going to be tame. So therefore, how can we say that it was the rabbis 80 years before the Churban that they said that we're going to burn the truma that touches it? Here we see over here that they said that it's going to burn the truma from it was much, much later in Usha. So the Gemara says there were three stages. Ela asu inhu gazra agusha litlis. As we mentioned before, that the two yaisis, they came and they made a decree on the earth, the clod of the earth, that will suspend it. If truma touches it, you don't eat it, but you don't burn it. The aviv lekulim, regarding airspace, they didn't make a gzera at all. Then, the second stage was v'asra abanan d'shmayin mishana, gazer idiv idlitlis. Then came the rabbis, the rabbanan, from 80 years before the Churban, and then they said they added one monach. They said both the earth and the airspace of the land of the nations will be suspending. That is, you can't eat the truma, but you don't burn it. Then the third stage was v'asra bu'usha, and then they came in Usha much later after the Churban, gazer agusha list. So they're the ones that made the decree on the clod of the earth that you burn truma that touches it. And the earth airspace, they left it as it was from the Rabbanan from 80 years before the Churban, that it's litless, that it will be going to suspend it, not eat, not burn. So therefore that's how we resolve it, that there were three different stages in this gzera, and really all three of them had a hand in making this gzera on the Eretz Am. So that was one thing. Then we had the second decree that they made, the two yeses, was on Kli Zchuchas, the glass were susceptible to tumah. So Rosh Hashanah asked, my time of Gazib Rabbanan tumah. Why did Rabbanan make Gzeira on glassware? It's not one of the things that in the Torah it says that it's susceptible to tumah. So why did Rabbanan make Gzeira that it is susceptible to tumah? So Amr Yechana, Amr Shlokish, Hoylu Tchiles B'Yasim Nachal. Since the original formation of glass comes from sand, that's how it's made. So Shavin Rabbanan Kiklicheres. So the Rabbanan, they considered it like earthenware, but which also comes from the earth, and therefore it has the same type of halacha of let's say klicheres, which could be makabel tumah, that is susceptible to tumah. And that's what we said, that since it has that similarity, we're going to make it susceptible to tumah. But then the Gemara asks, let me ask, if that's the case, that we compare it to klicheres, and that's why it's makabel tumah, so late to heilen tahar b'mikvah shouldn't have be able to become pure by then immersing it in the mikvah, like klicheres, which klicheres cannot become tahar through immersing in the mikvah, has to be broken. And I said, therefore, Lomatana, why did we learn in the Mishnah? Ve'elu chaytzi mekelma. These are the things that are considered chatzitza, that they interpose, they interfere regarding a tefillah. If you want to immerse in the mikvah, you can't have anything interposing between the keili and the water. It says, hazefes v'hamori b'klis chuches. One of the cases is a pitch or musk that's on a glass keili, which is glass is very smooth. And generally, a person's not mak, but he doesn't care if, let's say, cement or something else is attached to it, because it comes off on its own, it's very smooth. And that is because, however, these two cases of musk and pitch, since they get very much stuck to it, they're hard to get off, so then people are mocked, but it bothers them when it's there. And the halach is that something that's chaytzit, something that interposes, is only something that you're makbet on it. So therefore, these two things, the Mishnah over there says, since it does get stuck, in spite of the fact how smooth glass is, so a person bothers him that it's here. So then it's considered chatzitz, it does interpose with the tefillah, and therefore won't be a good tefillah until you take off the pitch and the musk. But one thing we see from that Mishnah is that kli zchuchas, glass kalim, could be taivo, that could be immersed in the mikvah to make it pure, and just that those two things interpose when they're there. So how could that be if we learn that kli zchuchas, glassware from kli cheres, which is from earthenware, and earthenware, it cannot tevel in the mikvah to make it pure? So the Gemara says, correct, generally glassware cannot be tevel, because like kli cheres, but we're talking about a unique case over there. Hachab ma'eskinen, over there in the Mishnah is, kagun shenikvu. And for example, if the glassware was perforated, and therefore it became tahar, even like kli cheres, which is earthenware, because regarding earthenware, kli cheres, shvirasi mitarasi, when you break it, that makes it pure because it's not a keli anymore. So therefore it wasn't a keli, so therefore it became pure. But then the hitiv lo toichen av, and then there was lead that was poured into the hole that was there when it was perforated. And that is, so now it's considered like a kli matris, like a metal keli, because now there's lead inside. Because the halach is that whatever, so to speak, sustains and maintains the kli, that's the halacha that it's given. And therefore, now it has the halacha of a lead keli, and a lead keli metal could be tavled in the mikvah. As the Gemara says, Remehi, that mission over there is like Remehi, do'amah ha'kol hoylich achar amai, but he says, every keli, we view it after the thing that maintains it. And therefore, since here, without the lead that was, so to speak, plugging the hole, it wouldn't be a keli. So now, so to speak, now the new item that's making it into a keli is the lead. So therefore, although it's glass, and that's what we're talking about as a glass keli, because it has pitch and all these things that will interpose, but we give it the halacha now of lead, and therefore it could be tevel in the mikvah. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, klis chuchesh nikvah, regarding a glassware that has a hole in it, the hitiv l'teichen avar, and then there was lead that was poured into that hole. Rishim Gamliel says that a mayor mitamir may hold that now it's susceptible to tumah, and we don't say that once it was bottled from a Torah's kli like ulo, the pottery that was broken, because now he says that holach archa maimed, and that is what's maintaining it now is metal, and therefore we give it a halacha of metal, and that's why again as we said that it's roulet tefillah, but again correct stam schuch is regular glassware would be just like kli cheres that it would need to be broken, it would not be able to, so to speak, purify it by immersing in the mikvah. Chametar mecham say that's tar. They say that since the main keli is glassware and it's not, we don't go after that little plug that's, so to speak, maintaining it now. So therefore, the chacham say that it's tar because once it was broken, it's not a glassware anymore. Although you're plugging it now, we don't view it anymore as kli cheres. It totally removed it from the Torah's kli, and that is so. Therefore, it's going like Reb Meir that said that kli schuches is going to have a halacha like metal when it's plugged, but if not, it has halacha of l'kli cheres, and that's where we said that the halacha of kli schuches initially even was, that we said it's susceptible to tumah, is because it's very similar to kli cheres, because they both come from earth, and that's why we decreed a rabbinic tumah on kli schuches.